The two expressions that are given to Noah concerning the covenant come before and after the flood. First, what did God tell Noah? He said he was going to save his family, and he was going to destroy the world by flood, which were renewed discoveries of the covenant of faith concerning sinner salvation in Christ, because Noah himself is a type. That is correct. All God's covenants after the fall are fulfilled in the Lord Jesus, and all the promises of God are yea and amen in him, right? 2 Corinthians 1:20. Christ, though dimly revealed in the early administrations, was always present. In the first promise, he's seen, I will put enmity between the woman's seed and the serpent's seed. Right? He's going to bruise the head, though the serpent will bruise his heel. Genesis 3:15. He can't be excluded at any time from any other part or administration of the covenant of faith. Why is that?
He's the substance of it.
He's the substance of it. How do we know that? We're only at Noah. So you're Noah. How do we know that?
Because he says so in the New Testament.
Noah doesn't have that. So when we have this, and we know what that means, did Adam know what it means? So much so. Did Eve know what it means? What it meant?
Yeah.
So much so. Yeah. Noah did too. So he can't be excluded from any further, if we do it like this, any further explanations of whatever he's going to do by the time he gets to the cross here. It's always the same thing. It's just more. There were these, regardless of where you're at, Adam, Noah,
Abraham.
Moses.
Isaac. Here, we need one more. The who?
Jesus.
Not yet.
Prophets.
Yeah. So what we call this, the Babylonian exile. Regardless of where you're at in the bumps, he's always the substance of it and fulfills everything concerning it. So all of those, though, from here back, and it doesn't matter if you're talking about this right here or you're talking about how much of the Old Testament do you have at that particular point that he comes, it all says the same thing. It's all glimmerings until he comes and he shows he is the fulfillment of it. Noah's faith and righteousness is seen, Hebrews 11:7, by faith Noah, right? By faith. Well, which covenant is this?
Covenant of faith.
Yes. So the covenant of faith, which is also?
Covenant of grace.
Luke?
No.
Yeah, I was messed up.
Yeah, that's the other one.
Yeah.
By faith, Noah, being warned of God, things not seen yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness, which is by faith. What did he do? What do Christians do in order to, this is a whole thing. We could stay on this for a really long time. In order to condemn the world. What do they do?
Judge
God. I heard something over here first.
I abide in Christ.
Be more specific.
Be justified.
Believe. Okay. Here, this is going to be a tangent, but that's okay. Believe.
Obey. Yeah.
What? Somebody said something else?
I said obey God.
Okay.
So that's all
I'm going
to
do. All right. So, Hebrews, he prepared an ark to the saving of his house by the which he condemned the world. Why?
Judgment.
Why?
Because why did he judge the world?
Yeah.
He believed what God said.
So he obeyed and he believed him, right? So what do Christians do in order to condemn the world? Right?
Same thing.
The foundation of the whole thing was bent on God's foundation of faith. He warned Noah of
the coming judgment.
Where did he live?
In the world.
Or he's in the world. Particularly, right? Deserty ish.
Mesopotamian.
Yeah, Mesopotamia. Maybe there were some parts that were pretty good. We're still sort of in the beginning, so Adam's area would have been lush, but when he got booted out of that, who knows where God booted him to, you know, and how great that was. And what was it that he did?
Built something nobody had probably ever seen before.
Why are you doing this here?
Yeah.
You know, if this is the continent and Noah's right here and this is where the water is and this is like 5,000 miles and this is like 5,000 miles and you have giant cities here and Noah builds an ark in the middle of it. It's probable that Noah and his three sons hired people from the city, had them help. It took 120 years to build it. With four guys and Noah being a little bit old, he probably had some help. Could you imagine? Listen, you want to pay me? I'll come help. You know? But so what do you? So then he's done. Workman Joe's done for the day. He leaves. He goes back and goes to the tavern. What have you been doing today? Let me tell you what I'm doing. Right? And that's what everybody would have thought. They didn't believe it. So how long, in comparison to the time that Noah built the ark over the course of 120 years, how long are you going to live? Technically.
80.
Let's just be generous, right? My dad's 87. So let's say 90. Let's say you push it and you get 100 years out of somebody, right? We don't even live as long as it took Noah to build the ark, right? I'll give you a quick story. Another tangent. King's College Chapel in Cambridge is an architectural wonder. And it has the greatest fan architecture on the planet. These columns that go up and spread and hold up the roof. Mm-hmm. And it's all stone. And it's all glass. And it's all craziness. So when you go in and you look at it, you look at it and you go, I wonder how long it took them to build it. 125 years to build it. Mm-hmm. So here's Pop. He starts on day one with the group, and 50 years he's dead. Maybe his kids next. They go another 50 years, right, from that particular time, 60 years, 70 years, he's dead. The next one, they're not even going to see this thing done. That's how long it took to build it. Noah's going to take 120 years to build the ark. And from the time that he started to the time that he finished, how much rain did he see?
None.
None in comparison to what this was about, right? Zero. But this is this point. This is Hebrews' point in the sense that in the building of the ark and doing what God told him to do and obeying, he condemns the world because he's living by faith in what God specifically told him was going to happen because he believed him. Noah and Christ are paralleled. Well, pause. God commends this kind of faith. He was moved with fear. He was obedient, building the ark, saving his house, condemning the world. And he received the title to the righteousness of Christ by faith. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe. Romans 3:22. Let me read it again. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe. Who?
Believers.
Believers. Where's Paul getting this from? Pulling it out of the air?
Old Testament.
Yep. Who's the all?
Everyone who?
Everyone who? Yes. All of the believers. Noah's a believer. This righteousness is God's righteousness consisting in Christ's perfect obedience and sacrifice imputed to believers by faith. It doesn't matter what age you're in, where you are on the hump here. It doesn't matter. It's the only way that you get to heaven. Jesus said, unless a man is born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. Then what does he say in verse 10 to the Pharisee at that point? Do you remember?
Your children of the devil?
No, that's later. He's talking specifically to Nicodemus, and he says, you're Israel's teacher, and you don't understand these things. Right? This is Old Testament stuff. Born again is Old Testament stuff. You have to think about how Jesus interpreted his own word and the scriptures. Hey, the Sadducees didn't believe in the resurrection. The Pharisees did believe in the resurrection. Let me give you an Old Testament verse that will prove to you that resurrection happens. So what did Jesus use?
Nothing new.
Nothing new. Do you remember what he quoted?
He said that God is the God of the living, of Abraham, and
not of the dead.
I don't hear one word of resurrection in that at all.
No, but it's implied.
Yes.
They're all alive.
By implication, Jesus knows what the scripture says and he knows how to apply it correctly. Right? So when you're dealing with believers, when you're dealing with born againness, everyone who believes goes to heaven. And if you're not born again, you don't get to go to heaven unless a man is born again and can enter the kingdom of heaven. So you can't do it. Can't see it, spiritually perceive it, can't enter it, right? Because Nicodemus messes it up, thinks it's crawling back inside his mother's womb to be born again. He doesn't get the natural idea and the spiritual idea. And Jesus gives him both ways. Noah is a believer. Without being born again, he is not a believer, and he doesn't go to heaven. Neither does Abraham. Romans 3:22, unto all and upon all them that believe. When you get to the next chapter, who does he start talking about?
Abraham.
Why? Why does he talk about Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John?
Because he's the father of the faith.
Yeah. Old Testament stuff. I'm Paul. I'm going to open my Bible and show you how to be saved. He goes to Genesis. Where does Jude go? Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, right? Noah, a type of Christ. Noah himself, the ark, and salvation through water were types of Christ in his church. Noah and Christ are paralleled. Noah and his name was Rest. And he called his name Noah, saying, the same shall comfort us concerning our work and the toil of our hands because of the ground which the Lord hath cursed. Why is the ground cursed?
For our sake.
Why?
For the sweat of thy brow.
But why?
Because of sin.
Because of sin.
Why is the ground cursed?
Yeah, why? But why?
God cursed it.
Because God cursed it. Why is there that this, I'm not going to write it, the why do bad things happen to good people, all that kind of stuff. Why is there a curse? Why is there death? Because God cursed it. So God's in charge and he cursed the ground. It bites because I have a garden. I know thorns and things grow up and you get tired of dealing with it. Christ is foretold in Noah. She shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. What is he going to do? He shall save his people from their sins. Matthew 1:21. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn. Isaiah 61:1-2. Jesus says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you
rest.
Noah. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in your heart, and you shall find
rest
for your souls. Right? Noah was upright. Christ was perfectly holy. Right? Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God. Genesis 6:8-9. Wouldn't it be nice if the Holy Spirit said that about us? Right? In that particular way, when we read things like that. Of Christ it's written, I find no fault in this man, Luke 23:4. Who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, 1 Peter 2:22. For such a high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens. Hebrews 7:26. Noah was also a priest, prophet, and king. Really? Yep. And Noah built an altar unto the Lord and took of every clean beast and every clean fowl and offered burnt offerings on the altar. Who does that?
Priest.
He was also a preacher. He spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the 8th person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly. A preacher is what?
Prophet.
He reigned as father of the new world. King. So Christ is our high priest, who needeth not daily as those high priests to offer up a sacrifice, first for his own sins and then for the people's. For this he did once when he offered up himself. Hebrews 7:27. So he is our prophet. He is our king. He is our priest. Him shall ye hear in all things whatsoever he shall say to you. Acts 3:22. He's our king, for he must reign till he hath put all his enemies under his feet. 1 Corinthians 15:25. Noah built the ark. Christ builds his church. So the Lord told Noah, come thou and all thy house into the ark, for thee I have seen righteousness before me in this generation. Genesis 7:1. Christ, upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Matthew 16:18. Noah's sacrifice, he sacrificed. Christ had a sacrifice. The Lord smelled the sweet savor, and the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground anymore for man's sake. Genesis 8:21. Christ, who is through the eternal Spirit, offered himself without spot to God, Hebrews 9:14, and walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us and given himself for us as an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor, Ephesians 5:2. God established his covenant through Christ. We'll talk about why new is new, or saying the new covenant, or what testament means, and why we have an Old Testament and a New Testament, and how that works, but for now, for this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their minds and write them in their hearts, and I will be unto them a God, and they shall be to me a people. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. Did he ever do that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Huh. He had to have. Why did he have to do it?
Because everybody saved the same way.
Because everybody saved the same way, and if you're saved, you're saved. Mm. The dove and peace. And the dove came in to him in the evening, and lo, in her mouth was an olive leaf plucked off. So Noah knew that the waters were abated from the earth. Genesis 8:11. Christ and John bear record, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove and abode on him. John 1:32. The Spirit witnesses peace. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Romans 8:16. Noah restored the world in that particular way. Christ restores all things. These are the sons of Noah. And to them, the whole earth overspread. Genesis 9:19. But in Christ, in the dispensation of the fullness of time, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, and has put all things under his feet. All things? What's all things? Is it everything? Is there autonomous atoms running around anywhere? No. He's before all things, and by him all things consist. And he's the head of the body of the church, who's the beginning, the firstborn from among the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself. Colossians 1:17-20. All things, Jesus wants us to remember all things in that particular way. He wants us daily as we pray to remember all things in that particular way. How do we do that? Our Father, right? Father of creation, Father of redemption. We are to remember that always. So Noah, the ark, the sacrifice, the covenant, Christ, and his covenant of faith were foreshadowed. God's covenant with Noah was indeed an administration of the covenant of faith in Christ by just those basic things. We'll stop there.